You are there, Atlanta, Georgian, June 26, 1913. Little Mary Fagan, Stover girl, will star in Frank Trial, the Atlanta Georgian. Thursday, June 26, 1913. State, however, must prove she entered factory before Mary Fagan. With the selection of the courtroom made Thursday, all is virtually in readiness for the trial of Leo M. Frank, accused of strangling Mary Fagan. The venire of jurymen has been selected, and July 28th is fixed as the date, and both sides have announced they are ready to go into court. A definite decision was reached by Judge L. S. Rowan to hold the trial on the first floor of the old City Hall building. The decision was reached after a conference with Solicitor General Dorsey, and it was represented as impracticable to hold the trial in the small and not well-ventilated courtroom in the Thrower building. The state is maintaining its determined attitude toward the subpoenas deuces tecum issued by the defense. Frank A. Hooper, assisting in the prosecution, has branded them as a palpable trick to discredit the testimony of the state's witnesses. Girl star witness. The witnesses will be present with the affidavits called for, but a hot fight will be put up by Solicitor Dorsey and Attorney Hooper to prevent their use by the defense. Montine Stover, a timid little 14-year-old girl, will be a star witness in the trial of Leo M. Frank, July 28th, on the charge of strangling Mary Fagan in the National Pencil Factory. According to all indications Thursday, the frequency with which she has been called upon to repeat her story of going to the factory on the day of the crime and finding Frank absent from his office is taken as an almost certain indication that the prosecution regards her statements of the utmost importance. The state, if it is able to establish that Montine Stover entered the factory on the day of the crime just after Mary Fagan went inside, will have scored a most significant victory. The evidence will still be circumstantial, it is true, but it will be of greater weight even than the weird stories of the Negro sweeper, Jim Conley, who has sworn that he aided Frank in disposing of the body, adds to mystery. Her story, however, until it is substantiated or disproved in court, only adds to the mystery of a crime which already abounds in baffling and mysterious phases. Her appearance on the witness stand may mean everything or nothing, because there is the startling fact that every indication points to Montine Stover having entered the factory before Mary Fagan. Montine Stover is the daughter of Mrs. Homer Edmondson of 171 South Forsyth Street. She formerly was employed at the pencil factory, and on the Saturday of the murder went to the building to get her money. She said that she arrived there at 12:05 and remained about 5 minutes. She said that Frank was not in his office and that she was not able to find him. Pitted against the declaration of the little girl is the statement of Frank that he was in his office at the time. One of the two apparently has spoken falsely or mistakenly. It is the theory of the state that Mary Fagan had preceded Montine Stover into the factory, that Frank had attacked her probably in the metal room, and that this is the reason the Stover girl was unable to find Frank in his office when she was in the building from 12:05 to 12:10, where the case is hit. Should the state be able to impress the jury that this was the actual series of events, the prosecution will argue that Mary Fagan left the office in company with Frank and went to the metal room. But the theory of the state is once assailed by what appears to be practically certain evidence that, as a matter of fact, Montine Stover was at the factory before Mary Fagan entered. If this is the case, Frank's absence from his office could not have had any significance, for Mary Fagan was not yet there. The Fagan girl left her home at 11:50. She lives in Bellwood, and the ride to town takes more than 15 minutes. The time that she left the car in the city is fixed by William M. Matthews, motorman number 1447 of the Cooper and Hendricks Streets Run, who says that his car arrived at Broad and Marietta Streets that day between 12:07 and 12:10 o'clock. If Mary Fagan had hurried, she barely could have got to the factory by the time the Stover girl was leaving. If this testimony can be relied upon implicitly, the Stover girl's story falls down utterly, so far as its value is concerned. Therefore, if Mary Fagan did not come into the factory until after the Stover girl had left, there still remain the conflicting stories of the Stover girl and Frank, even though they cannot have a direct bearing on the case. The Stover girl says Frank was not in his office, and he declares that he was there until he went to the fourth floor to see Arthur White and Harry Denham. Editor's note: bracketed text appears only in the afternoon and/or evening versions of the Georgian.